Welcome to the bonfire. God is love, God is light, God is a consuming fire. And the bonfire is a place where we gather together, grow in our faith, and then we want to draw near to God. We want to experience more of God's presence. And that happens when we get into God's word. Also, when we say yes to God's Spirit. And the Holy Spirit alive in us, God's power. We don't want to quench or grieve the Spirit, but we want to say yes to the Spirit. And there's no limits to God's power. In this season, we're covering the power of God. What a great topic. So encouraging, so inspiring to open up the pages of the Bible and consider how powerful God is, how he worked then, and how he works now. And in this time together today, we're going to look at John chapter 11. You can read through that whole chapter several times on your own. There's so much truth. There's so much encouragement. It is drenched in these pages. In John chapter 11, it's a rich chapter. A lot of people will talk about Lazarus being raised from the dead. We see God's power in many ways in this chapter. And when you think about the start of this chapter, it looks bleak. You might be in a situation that looks bleak right now. Lazarus is sick. He's dying. Jesus is far away. Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters, they're starting to lose hope because the Savior isn't here. They're not seeing God's power, and their brother is getting sicker and sicker, and then he's going to die. Jesus hears from a distance the news about Lazarus's condition, and he doesn't rush. He doesn't come right away. He delays, and he says, all of this will turn out for the glory of God. That's the ultimate goal in every situation. We might have preferences, ideas about how soon we want God to work, how we want God to show up, but God knows what's going to bring him the most glory. Jesus knows it, and he delays. A delay does not mean a denial. The delays of God, and sometimes what appears to us as a detour, disappointment is attached for us, but God has the final say. Jesus is our good shepherd. He says, no, I'm going to delay. This is going to work out for God's glory. And as he delays, Lazarus dies. It appears at this point as if the enemy's winning. There's an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Just like on the cross, it appeared that Satan had won because the Savior of the world had died. But Jesus defeated death through death. And then he has the power to overcome the grave. The resurrection is real. There's no resurrection without a death. Jesus has the final say. And in this particular situation, Jesus has that non-anxious presence. Jesus knows that God is good. God can be trusted. The Father can be trusted. And Jesus is checking in with Father God, even submitting to Father God every day. That's his routine. I encourage you, if you're in a stressful situation right now, to pull back and to have that rhythm of connecting with, abiding with the Father, listening to the Father. Do that regularly. Extend the time. Take less time on screens and devices. More time in prayer and God's word. More time in listening. Be in step with the Spirit. Then when it's time, the right time. Notice God's power is on God's time and God's terms. We don't dictate. We can pray. We can request. But Jesus is going to decide the timing, and he's going to decide the details of how this is going to play out. And we follow his lead. He doesn't follow our lead. As Jesus tells the disciples, it's time to go now. It's time to go over to where Lazarus and Mary and Martha are. The disciples are cautious. They're well-intentioned, but they say, the people are just trying to kill you there. You're going to go back into that space? Sometimes God calls us to enter into places that are difficult. Even if there's past pain and failure, God calls us to return. God calls us to risk, to take relationship risks, and to enter in not always the safest route, not always the safest place or the safest way. Jesus is going to continually be in danger. Death threats, opposition, hatred. They're going to mock him, beat him, spit on him. He's going to endure so much, but it's worth it. And we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, throw off the sin that entangles, and run the race. There might be a high cost, but we want to be faithful. We want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, at the end of our days. We want to hear that from God. That means more than an affirmation from any other person. And Jesus knows he's in step with the Spirit. He's trusting the Father. The Father has a good plan. And then he returns. As he returns to that place, and Lazarus is now dead. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Mary and Martha, they're grieving. Everyone's grieving. And then Martha steps forward and says to Jesus, if you had been here, if you had come earlier, then this wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have had the result. You would have healed my brother. Jesus knows he's doing this right, but yet there's the if you would have, if you had been here, if you had responded differently. That's a lot to take on, especially when there's a tragedy. If you're going through a time of mourning and stress right now, be careful what you say to people. Sometimes families are united until there's a tragedy, and now they start to turn against each other and point fingers and blame and shame and division and hatred. And all of this happens because people are grieving and they're mourning. Don't let your emotions dictate your actions. Don't let your emotions go unguarded, that you know they're just going to lead to statements you'll later regret, and they're going to bring fractures in your relationships and unnecessary strife. I don't know the exact tone here because we're reading the words. We can't hear what Martha says, but it's pretty clear she's disappointed, frustrated, and she kind of thinks Jesus blew it in terms of timing. Those are hard moments for all of us. You know, we're empathetic here with Martha because you know and I know that we have a timetable and expectations and hopes of how life is going to play out. And when God's power doesn't appear to be active when we want it, when we need it, what happens? We start to question God, and we start to sometimes almost get in a spot where we're puffed up with pride and even want to rebuke God. Keep trusting God. Be patient. Take heart. You will see the good of the Lord in the land of the living. So be confident. Take heart. That's what Psalm 27 says, verse 13 and 14. Jesus arrives and he comes with hope. Here's the hope he's dripping out. Lazarus is just asleep, not dead. The disciples are like, what do you mean asleep? He's dead. He's been dead a long time. No, he's asleep. Jesus knows the story is not over. Sometimes when there's a scenario that's unfolding, we already jump ahead. We assume, we conclude, we're like, oh, well, then this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and that's going to happen. We've got this sequence and this chain, but it hasn't happened yet. Or we start to worry about the future, and we have no control. It's not even going to play out that way, but we're worrying about stuff we don't need to. It's been shared that over 90% of what we worry about never happens. Well, this story, it's got a great ending. At this point, it looks bleak. In your walk with God, there's going to be a lot of times when things look very dark, but the story's not over. You got to preach that to yourself sometimes. The story is not over. God's still working. God still has the final say. Jesus has the final say. Lazarus is dead at this point, and now Jesus is arriving. Martha's disappointed, and Jesus takes this time to do a couple things, and they're very significant. These two things. First, he's going to comfort. He's going to comfort and bring encouragement. He's actually going to weep with those who are weeping. He loves Lazarus. He sees the pain that the people are experiencing, and he feels that pain. It could be one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. It is the shortest verse in the Bible. Two words, Jesus wept. Don't ever forget that our Savior is well acquainted with sorrows. He was tempted just as we are in every way, but didn't sin. Jesus understands grief. He experiences it. He enters in. If you're with someone who's grieving, don't belittle the pain that they're going through. Enter in. The Bible says, mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. Both are good. We need to do both. That mourning, don't give bad advice. Don't talk too much. Let the other person grieve. Cry with them. Listen. Just be present. Don't be distant. Jesus, he came in close. He entered in emotionally. When you want to have close friendships or you're dating, marriage, and you want to enter in, it's important to enter in emotionally. Sometimes if you're a solver, you'll enter in cognitively and you'll think, well, here's the solution. I can fix it. And that's not what the person necessarily wants right then. They just want you to care. They just want you to feel what they're feeling. And they just want to know that you're emotionally connected. That's key. Jesus does that. It's not all he does, but he does that. He's in a position not where he's high and lofty. He's right there where they are. And Jesus can relate to us. We don't have a high priest who is unsympathetic, who can't understand our weaknesses and our struggles. We have a high priest who became human, who experienced about every kind of pain on earth. No one had it more difficult than Jesus in terms of pain and suffering. And he relates. He enters in. And that's a reassurance. If you're struggling and you feel like people don't really understand you, part of God's power is his presence and his ability to be there when no one else is. That he knows, he cares, he pursues, and he loves you when no one else really gets it. Jesus gets it in John chapter 11, and in your situation, he gets it. He cares. And the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, coming alongside of us, we are not alone. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is one of comfort. Jesus brings comfort here, and we all need comfort. We don't need to stay in what's comfortable. That can be an idol. If we're always trying to put life together in a way that's most comfortable, being comfortable will be an idol, and we'll choose that over God's will for us, God's plan, God's purpose. We'll choose that over relationship risks. We'll choose that over sharing our faith. We don't want to just always be in what's comfortable, but we all need God's comfort. And praise be to the Lord, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so we can comfort those with the comfort we receive from God. That's how God works. He comforts us so we can comfort others. And part of the comfort that God brings is not only the connection and the emotional entering in, but Jesus reveals who he is. And in your pain, sometimes you're going to see clearer than ever who Jesus is. You're going to see his greatness. God does his greatest work in the darkest times. And there's nothing more important than your view of God. There's nothing more important than abiding with Jesus. As you study the Bible, your faith grows. Because if you hear the word of God, that builds up your faith. Look at this chapter, you're going to see more about who Jesus is. And he makes this bold declaration. He says in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he says, do you believe this? Jesus declares he is the resurrection long before his resurrection. He declares he's the resurrection before he raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus makes the statement, and then he backs it with action. If you want the life that is truly life right now, abide with Jesus. If you want eternal life, then follow Jesus. Put your trust in him. He gives both eternal life and abundant life. He is the life. He is the resurrection. Death is not the end of the story. I've led a lot of funerals, and I'm so glad to declare death is not the end of the story. The best is yet to come. God knows when to call us home, and funerals are incredibly sad. We miss loved ones, and the grieving can last our entire time here on earth. The grieving is so deep. In no way do I want to minimize the loss of a loved one and the grieving process and the mourning. As we go through that, God's still with us. God brings a hope that's greater than our sadness, our loss, our pain, our suffering. God brings a hope that includes eternal hope, infinite hope, indestructible hope. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. That's bold at a funeral to just stand up and say, I know everyone's grieving and with tears because Jesus wept. I grieve with you. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he asks, do you believe this? He asked that question. Notice, it's not enough just to have intellectual assent or facts about Jesus. You actually need to make a decision to put your trust in him, whoever believes. Martha, Mary, they believe. Mary's going to come out. She's going to ask the same question. If you were here, you know, this would have played out differently. And you might feel that way sometimes. I want this to play out differently. It's grieving. And sometimes pain can taint the way you see God. Don't give pain too much power. We grieve, but we have a hope greater than our grief. And we have a hope as we grieve that doesn't go away. The two are together. Don't be afraid of combining the two. They're not mutually exclusive. We grieve and we have hope. And the hope comes right here. It's from Jesus. He is the resurrection. Now, Jesus is going to not only declare who he is, not only weep as they're weeping and enter in emotionally, but now it's time to raise Lazarus from the dead. People are cautious about that. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. It stinks over there. Jesus has already declared that Lazarus is asleep, meaning there's more life to come. Lazarus has taken a four-day nap because Jesus has authority over life and death. Jesus can raise people from the dead. As you consider this story today, let's be reminded that Jesus brings life in dead places. You might have some areas of your life that have been dead for a while. Maybe you've been dry spiritually. Maybe it's been a relationship that needs restoration. Maybe you're dead when it comes to hope of who God is and what he can do. In Ezekiel chapter 37, God breathes life into these dry bones. The Spirit of God enters in, and there's a rattling, and they come together, and God raises up an army. God wants to take dead vision and dead hope and dead joy and all the things the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. God wants to bring it back to life, and Jesus is going to raise up Lazarus. That's an encouragement. But let me tell you, God's power can raise up dead things in your life, and you need to abide with Jesus. Realize that God is powerful. Not doubt him, not question him, not have cynicism. You need to have faith. You don't have the final say. It's going to happen on God's timing. It's going to happen in God's terms. But when God says, I'm going over to the grave to raise someone, don't say, I don't think that's a good idea. Peter did that with Jesus. He said, I don't think it's a good idea you go to the cross. That's too painful. That doesn't sound like a good plan. And Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. Sometimes they say to Jesus, leave our region. Jesus has the power of God. He is God. He is human. He drives out the demons into the pigs. The pigs run off the cliff. And the people say, Jesus, leave the region. In his hometown, they look down upon him. Oh, that's just Mary and Joseph's guy. Don't approach God with a lack of faith. Don't have a small view of Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. And as Jesus goes over to Lazarus with three words, you know, Lazarus, come out. Those three words, they carry such power that literally Lazarus is raised from the dead. The resuscitation of Lazarus. He's back. He's alive. Lazarus, come out. The old preachers would say, it's a good thing he specifically told Lazarus to come out, because otherwise everyone in the cemetery, every dead person around Jerusalem would have come out if he just said, come out. Jesus has that much power. Lazarus, come forth. Come out, Lazarus. And as Lazarus came back to life, he had all those linen strips around him. He was bound like a straitjacket. And Jesus said, throw off the grave clothes. Get rid of the grave clothes so Lazarus can live. Can you imagine Mary and Martha after 4 days thinking it was completely hopeless? See, life can be hopeless until the power of God enters in. 4 days of grieving. Now what happens? Lazarus is alive. Their brother's back. Oh, if there's a loved one that you have, let's say that's now in heaven, if there's a loved one that you could bring back and just spend time with, have another year with, how sweet would that be? And Jesus brings back Lazarus, a gift. All of his power, it's a gift. It comes from his loyal love. It comes from his kindness, his grace. Lazarus is back. The grieving has stopped. Now people are starting to realize Jesus said he is the resurrection and life. Look what he did. I think Jesus is the Messiah. People are starting to realize it. They're putting their trust in him. And then think of Lazarus's testimony. Yeah, I was dead for 4 days. Now I'm back. Jesus raised me. How'd he do it? He said, Lazarus, come out. And I was alive again. And then all the people talking about this. You see, that's a big deal. God has the final say in our lives. He knows when to bring us home. He knows when to raise us from the dead. He knows the resurrected bodies he's going to give us. And when you read this passage, if you try to enter in, I encourage you to do that when you read the Bible. Enter into the scene, the emotions. Enter into the comments. What do we learn about God? What do we learn about life? What do we learn about ourselves? How do we apply this to our lives? Ask those questions when you read the scripture. Can you imagine the celebration? I mean, maybe you've been to a sports game, football game, baseball game, game-winning home run, right? Game-winning touchdown. Everyone erupts. Imagine the joy that Lazarus is back and now talking around town. Jesus is the resurrection. Lazarus is raised up. And what a powerful testimony. This is what God has done. In that picture of Lazarus, when Jesus says, take those grave clothes off and let him go, that's a picture for us that sometimes we hold on to dead things. Like we hold on to old ways of thinking, old patterns, old negative thoughts. We hold on to habits that are actually destructive. We hold on to things. Sometimes it's guilt and shame. And when you have all these things, it's like a straitjacket. It does hold you back from your potential and your purpose, and it does steal your passion. And to be free, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Let me ask you, what do you need Jesus to release you from today? What are your grave clothes? Do you have an unnecessary low ceiling about what God could do in your life? Do you have a small view of God? There's an old book, Your God is Too Small, meaning your view of God is way too small. Jesus is going to shatter small boxes in terms of their perception of him right here. What grave clothes do you need to let go? What do you need to be released from? Have you forgiven yourself for past mistakes? Have you forgiven other people? If you don't forgive other people, it's like wearing grave clothes. You might as well just wear a straitjacket. It's like a poison inside of you. It's like being inside of a jail. Grave clothes, things that maybe in the past they were useful for a season, but you don't need them anymore. They don't fit anymore. They're not going to get you where God is taking you. And you need to remove them, not keep them around. You need to say, I'm done, and release. Don't let them be an idol. Don't let the past be an idol. Other people's opinions, other people's comments, negative things they said about you, don't let that define you. Grave clothes. These are the lies of the enemy. Lies that there's no real hope for your life. And there's lies that you're not going to be able to have deep, good friendships because the last person betrayed you and stabbed you in the back. There's just so many different lies. People go to a church, they have one experience with somebody, and they say, I'll never go to any church ever again. No, the church is the body of Christ. Like, you got to stay connected. There's just so many lies. There's so many grave clothes that hold us back. And throw them off today. Throw off the sin that so easily entangles, so you can run the race moving forward with Jesus. Lazarus comes out after 4 days in the grave. He's ready to run the race. And what an ending right here. It would be fascinating to see what happened next. Well, who did Lazarus talk to? What did he say? How did the lives change after that? This is what we know. Some people celebrated. Some believed in God. And then right at that moment, others started to plot to kill Jesus. Jesus is now a threat to the religious leaders, because they can't contain his power. He is the resurrection. He is the Messiah. He's greater than they are. They want control. Jesus has authority over death. Jesus has authority over the religious leaders. They don't like that. They want control. So now they're going to try to remove Jesus. People either, you know, worship Jesus, or like the enemy does, tries to kill Jesus. And you see both. It's a full spectrum here. When the light shines, some run to the light, walk in the light, and they become the light of the world. Others, they stay in the darkness. Darkness hates the light. Why are you shining the light in our darkness? And the battle's played out. It's a reminder that when you see the power of God in your life, some people are going to rejoice, and some are going to be against it. They're going to be against you. God's going to use you in mighty ways. Not everyone's going to celebrate with you. Some are going to become critical. Some are going to question it. Some are going to try to pull you aside, distract you. They're going to undermine you. That happened to Jesus, it's going to happen to us. The power of God. Let's just review here. It comes, God's power, on God's terms, in God's timing. Sometimes we don't understand fully, so we need to take heart, be confident in God, and then we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Don't give in to worry and despair. Instead, abide. And to Mary and Martha's credit, they went to Jesus. Remember who Jesus is. He has power even before it's demonstrated. And then, when he raises Lazarus up, celebrate the power of God. Start to share the stories of the power of God. And when people come against you, just know that you're aligned with God. If God is for you, who can be against you? No one can separate you from the love of Jesus. No one could stop Lazarus from being alive again when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And in all these things, it all glorifies Jesus. God's power always shows who he is, always glorifies him, and it's for our good. And this resuscitation of Lazarus. Lazarus will die again. He's going to be alive, extended years. Every day you have is a gift from God. Every year that God adds to your life when it looks like you wouldn't be alive is a gift from God. It has purpose. Live for Jesus. But ultimately, Lazarus will die. He'll go into paradise. He'll be home. And then this miracle is just pointing to the miracle, which is the resurrection of Jesus. Every power of God that's demonstrated, it's always pointing to his greatness and glory, and then all that points to Jesus. So we'll know Jesus better, and it all comes in the culmination of Christ overcoming death. Lazarus is telling the story, and it's a Jesus story. You have a Jesus story in your life of God. God has powerfully worked in your life to provide for you, to protect you. God has worked to change you, to grow you, to help you understand your gifts and use your gifts. God has made a way when it didn't look like there's a way. God has given you eternal life. You have so many things through God's power that he's given to you, and that's a Jesus story. So tell your story. Tell everyone how Jesus is working in your life, how he has worked in your life, what he's promised ahead. Don't lose sight of what's coming. The best is yet to come. And let people know Jesus is the resurrection of life. If you have people that are near death, share with them about Jesus. Let them know about the reality of heaven. Be bold. Jesus is bold. That's who we follow. Be bold. At funerals, I've just shared the gospel and asked people to put their trust in Christ. I've done a funeral where a lot of people there were in gangs. They took alcohol and poured it in the grave, the one who died. Like, it wasn't the most comfortable spot for me, but I've got to share this, and you've got to share this. We know there's victory over death. Death does not have the final say, and that's such good news, and a lot of people have no clue. I had no clue until someone named Mike finally shared it with me. And in this story right here, Jesus cares, he weeps, and he declares victory that he is the resurrection and the life. Take time today to thank God, to praise the Lord for the gift of eternal life, for his goodness, that Jesus is who he says he is. And he is greater than demons, death, and darkness, and despair. Let's give Jesus praise. Let's lead other people to Jesus. And if things are feeling dead in your life right now, draw near to God. Open up your heart. Put your trust in Jesus if you don't know him, if you haven't made that decision. And if you do know him, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because God doesn't give us the spirit of timidity and fear, but power and love and a sound mind. That's John chapter 11. Read it again. Let the word of God dwell in you richly and be encouraged today with the power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus available to us every day. That's the blessing and grace of God. God is love. God is light. God is a consuming fire. Let's keep growing in our faith together here at the bonfire, and then share this today with someone to encourage someone who's going through a hard time. Encourage that Jesus is the resurrection and the life.